Thanks for listening to the Love and Hated podcast. I'm Jason.
My name is Dan.
The concept is simple. We pick a list of Netflix movies and put them into a randomizer. We flip a coin to see who will love and who will hate the movie. We use the best arguments we can outside of that sucked or that was awesome, and you get to be the ultimate judge.
Thank you for listening. The craziest Oscar show in the last 20-some years goes to...
The 89th Academy Awards?
Yeah, I think. Probably, yes. Huh?
It does.
Very crazy.
Totally, absolutely crazy. 20 years?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just throwing
You're just throwing a number out there, yeah.
I'm not trying to base it on another crazy one, although there haven't been that many crazy ones, but this was definitely crazy. Jason and I watched the Oscars together, and... judge them harshly at all times.
All the time.
What did you think of the Oscars? Did your picks win, Jason?
Some yes. Some yes. And in fact, a lot of my picks in the beginning, I was hitting them. I was nailing
it's
them.
It's true. You were. And it was kind of weird.
But then after a while, it started falling and I got disappointed. But yeah, I think overall I was pleasantly surprised because I think I was walking into it thinking that La La Land was going to sweep it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was glad that it did not.
But they almost almost did. And then they didn't.
That's right. we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But I think my big ones were my big...
What were your biggest upsets and your biggest excitement?
Nice.
Excited surprises.
An upset was best original screenplay, I think. Best adapted.
Best adapted
screenplay.
Okay.
Was because I really wanted Arrival to win.
Okay.
And
so you have kind of a crush on Arrival.
I do a little bit of a crush on Arrival. Who did win adapted? I don't even know. I was so upset. And I was just like, what?
Yeah, I don't even remember who was nominated, to be honest now. It's all kind of a blur, but now I feel like a terrible Oscar fan.
So that was an upset. I wasn't a huge fan of that choice. Other than that, I think there weren't too many upsets for me. There weren't anything that I was, like, really, really angry about.
Which ones were you most excited about? The wins?
The director is always one that I look for.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Manchester by the Sea one was okay, though I kind of wanted Denis Villeneuve to win. And he did Arrival as well.
Okay, yeah.
I thought he did a really good job directing. I did just see Moonlight. The other night.
Oh, okay.
So I think he did a pretty decent job as well.
Mm-hmm.
So did Damien won, right?
For what?
La La Land?
Yeah, he won Best Director.
Won, yeah.
Which I can't say
anything because I haven't seen La La Land yet.
Yeah, I can, and I'm going to say that was stupid.
Okay.
I just really wanted, what's his name? I can't remember his name now. The guy who directed Moonlight to win. I can't remember his name suddenly, but... Anyway, I really wanted him to win, but Moonlight, in terms of Oscar perspective, was my favorite movie of the year. Mm-hmm. So I wanted him to sweep everything, all of it, every bit and piece. I wanted him to take everything away from La La Land as much as possible.
Sound mixing,
all of it.
Costume design.
Although
there's a
good example of a surprise.
Makeup. Suicide Squad. Yes, you did it, buddy. You nailed it. Good job. After all the haters, all the people saying you couldn't do it, you won an award. You're now an Academy Award winning film.
Golf clap.
Suicide Squad.
Golf clap.
So.
Yeah, that was surprising. That. What was the other one that was a big surprise?
Rogue One.
What?
Was it Rogue One? No. Star Trek.
Star Wars didn't win anything, did it?
No, it didn't win. Star Wars never wins.
Never wins. Yeah.
Star Trek was the other makeup one.
For makeup? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. I don't know what else.
I feel like it was another one that was a surprise.
Was
just
there?
Like it came
Fantastic
out of left field.
Fantastic Beasts won a couple
or something like that. I don't remember. But
yeah.
man, it wasn't even that long ago, and I can't remember anything.
No, I mean, it's all just a big blur. I mean, probably because of the very end.
Yeah, the end ruined everything. Way to go, several people I'm not going to name. You know, who were part of the fiasco that was the end of that show. Biggest upset for me, honestly, aside from The Lobster not getting Best Original Screenplay.
Yeah.
That was a huge upset to me. I feel like it totally shouldn't have gotten it. Was Casey Affleck getting Best Actor. I know you love him, too, and you thought he was so great in Manchester by the frickin' sea or whatever.
we're on two opposite ends. That was your upset. That was my choice.
You can like a guy who's acting like himself for 2 hours straight. There's nothing unusual about that performance at all. Anyway, seriously.
All right, okay. That's
This is fun. Let's keep arguing.
No,
I know. So anyway, those are my two major upsets. And then... the ironic thing that we should probably point out to our listeners before we move forward is that we actually missed the big fiasco.
We turned it off.
Because the moment that La La Land was called to win for Best Movie, we were all like, ah!
Yeah.
And
we turned it off.
Well, we thought for a moment.
Mid-speech.
Literally, as they're walking up to the stage, we're like, do we even want to listen to these guys talk? And we're like, no. I don't care. And then we turned it off, and I was checking social media just kind of out of laziness.
Thank you, social media.
Yeah, I know, right? Social media tells me everything I ever need to know, ever. Told me that people kept on posting about Moonlight winning. I'm like, what universe are you people in? It was whatever. And by the time we went back, we turned the TV back on, it was on the credits, and we had missed everything.
We missed everything.
Thankfully, you know, thanks to social media and the internet, within about a half hour of that, I you know, you catch up on anything really quickly.
You can
quickly,
just rewatch what happened,
more or less. So, that said, you know, I'm very happy the Moonlight won Best Award. I kind of wish the fiasco hadn't happened, so they could have kind of had their moment in the sun, so to speak, of basking in Oscar glory or whatever.
Technically, they kind of did.
They kind of did, but it was so
weird. No, it's true.
And I kind of feel bad for the La La Land people, but not enough to say that twice. So, anyway... What else was there? Yeah, I think those are the major things I thought were cool. I kind of thought that Emma Stone, I didn't think really she deserved Best Actress either. I kind of think... I was rooting for Ruth Negga. I was really rooting for her, and Emma Stone got it, which to me didn't make any sense, but whatever. Sometimes the Oscars just don't fall in line with my ideas of what are good things and what are good creative moments.
No.
So I had to accept that. I've had to accept that. I've had to accept that since Shakespeare in Love won best movie several years ago.
Gosh,
when that movie won best movie or whatever, I was like, why exactly? And it just kind of ruined my concept of best movie picture choices. So anyway, any other thoughts about the Oscars?
It's just a popularity contest.
Oh, don't be one of those people. Of course it's a popularity contest, but it's fun. Anyway.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Don't be a hater. Don't be an Oscar hater.
I'm not an Oscar hater. I've watched the Oscars every year for the past many years.
I know you have.
I don't know when I started, but yes.
Yeah. It was good. Oh, I'm going to mention honorable mentions to end this point out. So, obviously, Moonlight was my favorite, but for Oscar's perspective, but those that didn't get nominated were Captain Fantastic. I've talked about them before, so I'm not going to go into it, but Captain Fantastic, Swiss Army Man, and Molly Shannon's role in Other People. If you haven't seen Other People, it's a great film, but she is amazing in it. It's a very different performance for her than anything I've ever seen from her, and she was great. And she got totally overlooked for a Best Actress nomination. There's also a short film called The Head Vanishes. The Head Vanishes is what it's called. It's an animated short, and if you can find it, check it out. It's probably the best one I saw among the whole batch of nominated Oscar shorts. Of course, Disney wins the... that was the other upset.
Yeah, yeah.
Freaking Disney. I despise everything Disney now.
Just because they always win.
They always win Best Short, and it's stupid.
Well, they always win Best Short and Best Feature Animated.
They don't always win Best... Well, I suppose they probably do. Probably,
I think
right?
they do, yeah.
You're probably right.
Maybe Pixar does.
It's more...
Still, you're... They,
right.
But what...
Go ahead.
Was it Moana that won?
No, Zootopia.
Zootopia. But like you said... Pixar and Disney are like the same thing.
Right.
Wait, no, Zootopia wasn't even Pixar. What am I saying?
What was Zootopia?
Zootopia is a Disney movie.
Freaking Disney,
yeah,
man.
They win everything.
All right, anyway, moving on. So that's our picks for the enjoyment of the Oscars. I hope you all enjoyed it, too. Let us know your thoughts on that, of what you liked and disliked about the Oscars, because we love getting email, since we really never get any email ever. No, so give us email!
We're lonely.
We're very, very, very lonely. Moving on. We watched a movie that's actually a Netflix original, and it's called The Siege of... Jeez. The Siege at Jadotville, Jadotville... Jeter City. I don't know what I don't know how to say the name.
Yeah, I don't even. Jadotville.
Jadotville. The way they said it in the movie, I'm not even sure quite right, because it was from an Irish accent, so I don't know if even that was accurate. But Jadotville, I'm just going to go with that route. Once again, it's a Netflix La original. La Land. What?
I don't know.
Don't ever say that name again in this podcast.
Sorry. I'll stop.
How dare you? This movie was directed by Richie Smyth. Which, if you look up Richie Smyth on IMDb, you'll notice, as far as I could tell, this is the first movie he's ever directed, it looks like, on IMDb. I literally didn't see anything else on his profile except this movie.
Maybe he just has other movies that haven't been listed.
Maybe, I don't know. It was written by Kevin Brodman, who actually adapted it from a book by Declan Power. It's based on a true story. It was made in 2016. It's an action drama thriller. I would also say it's a war movie. I say that with a bit of a grain of salt, because it has very strong war elements, but it isn't really a war movie. So
it's a light war movie.
It's a light. It's and even in terms of like two countries going at it for something, yeah. It's not really that kind of war movie. It's more about like armed forces and mercenaries and stuff like that. So
yeah.
Anyway, we'll get into that.
Light war.
Yeah. Light war. It's an hour and 48-minute movie. And the premise is, Irish Commander Pat Quinlan leads a standoff with troops against French and Belgian mercenaries in the Congo during the early 1960s. My voice was about as light as this movie is. Anyway, you could check out the trailer on the Facebook page, correct?
Yes.
All right, so I got the hated side of this film, which is unusual. Mm. Kind of exciting. And Jason got the love it side. So what, you want to love away first?
I will love away.
All right, man, love it up.
I'm going to love it up.
Cool.
Embrace this movie with my love in every way possible. First of all, this movie has a great province name. I'm thinking it's a province. Katanga. Katanga is the best word ever. Katanga. Just say it over and over again and you will...
You grow really weird crushes on things. I think I should just point that out.
I do.
Right,
but Katanga is great. It also rhymes with Topanga from Boy Meets World.
I'm sure that's exactly what they were thinking when they Katanga, decided to point.
Topanga.
You know, this is an actual city in a country somewhere,
right?
So if
you're a Boy Meets World fan,
oh my gosh,
you may love this. All right.
You're being ridiculous.
I know. All right.
Only I can be ridiculous in this podcast. Don't try to be ridiculous.
I have to be the straight man the whole
yes,
time?
Yes, you do the whole time. You know this by now. Don't act like you don't know.
When you're the love it side, you get to be silly.
I guess.
Okay. When you're hated side, you're angry and grouchy.
That's a good point. Okay. Shut up and talk.
Yeah, so I guess first off, I'll say that I did enjoy some of the cinematography in this movie. Some of the B-roll was really nice. Like, they got a lot of good shots of the African wild, some good landscape shots.
Pretty picturesque.
Very picturesque. They did a good job of capturing that, giving you that feel of being in Africa, making it feel very beautiful. So I thought they did good there, but even just in the action scenes overall, I thought the production quality was pretty well done, and the cinematography was pretty good overall. Not too bad, not too shabby. Whoever the DP was, not too shabby. Pretty good. Good work.
Good work, guy. We don't know.
Yeah.
With a camera, that's probably not even yours.
I thought the setup to the story was pretty decent. They set it up really well in terms of understanding the political climate at the time. And just to, you know, you already talked about, you know, the synopsis, but...
Tell us more.
I'll recap.
Please do.
Obviously, this story is historical.
It comes right out of history.
Right out of history.
Based on a true historical story.
Exactly. So it's historical in like the 60s.
It says it at the beginning, so it must be true.
Yes, everything in this movie was true, to the very last detail. What was I going on with?
I don't know. I just distracted you again.
Okay, it was a good setup to the story. So I thought it was a good history, historical narrative, if you will. And I thought they did a good job just giving you that context. Understanding that, you know, there's two superpowers that are fighting over these minerals that are in the Congo, and the UN is trying to get involved in a peacekeeping mission to try to stop World War III from breaking out, because this is the Cold War and everybody's constantly paranoid that World War III is going to happen. So a lot of uranium, a lot of other minerals are in this area, and yeah, they're just afraid superpowers are going to come in. So the UN comes in with this Irish troop to help defend part of these mines in Katanga. Katanga. Come on, you got to love it.
Katanga.
Katanga. I'm just going to say Katanga over and over again because it's so fun. So yeah, I thought it was a good setup and a good buildup. They got me into the story right away. I understood what the conflict was. I understood who the main character was, and you know, he's a married guy. He's a green fighter. He's a green soldier, in that he's never had a war. He's never fought in a war before, and neither has any of these. Neither has his troop. So
yeah, the Irish really aren't warmongers, apparently.
They are. They're warmongers.
Are they?
No, they're not warmongers. They don't fight in many wars. So that's why they were chosen to be peacekeepers. And so they don't have any fighting experience. And that was laid out really well. So I appreciated that piece of the story. And I think overall it was a good build-up to the conflict. When they got to Jadotville and were setting up shop and making sure they were going to defend it, they did a good job, I think, building up that tension, getting to the point where they were going to eventually obviously be attacked, building the tension on the ground, but also politically, I thought they did a good job kind of building that tension. I really liked a scene between the mercenaries that were in the area and the commandant, which I looked it up. Apparently that's equal to being a major. So the main character is called a commandant. His last name's Quinlan. So Commandant Quinlan and this mercenary are in this bar and they're having a little talk about about why Quinlan was there and how they're not welcome there. Nobody wants them there. And yeah, I just thought the direction was really good. There was a lot of good, quiet, tense moments between the two. The dialogue was played out really well and just a good scene between those two actors and just a good way, again, to set up the story, set up the conflict. So I really liked that scene. And I thought that was probably one of the best scenes in the movie. I'd say it's probably one of the best scenes in the movie. And then, yeah, since it's a war movie, there's some really good action scenes. They did a good job trying to, you know, portray defending against mercenaries that were constantly attacking them and retreating and attacking them and retreating. So, yeah, I think overall, I'd say, especially if this is the director's first movie, maybe first feature film, I thought overall pretty decent portrayal of the action going on. Though I will say that it is like the anti Hacksaw Ridge, if you've seen Hacksaw Ridge.
Or any war movie ever made.
That's not true. I think pre Saving Private Ryan, war movies were actually fairly, you know, well, let's say pre, you know, Apocalypse Now. There was a series of war movies like with John Wayne that were not violent at all. Like, they were very tame. I'd say this is like a John Wayne kind of war movie where it's very tame.
I still feel like you're being really generous with your description of this movie, but okay.
But yeah, anyway. And then, good historical grounding. I feel like they weren't trying to sensationalize anything and they weren't trying to Michael Bayitize it, if you will.
That's a word.
It is. It is now. I feel like they are trying to stick as closely as possible to the history. And I say that because, you know, you can kind of tell when a movie is sticking closer to maybe Hollywood cues in story structure and or in the amount of violence or action or maybe some more of the emotional drama. It was pretty clear they were sticking to the history because a lot of that stuff was fairly neutered. There wasn't a whole lot of, you know, there wasn't a huge romance. There wasn't very much that you might expect from a Hollywood movie. It really feels like it's just sticking to the basics, sticking to the history. and just showing you maybe probably how it went down. So I appreciated that to some degree. That's all I got.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
I forgot to mention the cast of this film. So I'll name off the top four anyway real quick. Got Jamie Dornan. Mark Strong. I think you've seen a couple of these guys in different films in different capacities. Jason O'Mara and Emmanuel Seeger, I think, was the actress's name. She's in it very briefly. I don't even understand her role and why she was even there very much, but whatever. Anyway, those are the top four actors in this film with the top credits. Hate, hate, hate this movie. You will hate this movie if you struggle with Irish accents.
You're a bigot.
True, but that's not the point. This movie's obviously about a large Irish group of soldiers. So it's primarily focused on them and them in general. Anyway, they talk a lot and they use their Irish accents a lot, which is a dumb way of saying they talk whatever. Point is
they use sign language the whole movie.
That would actually have been more interesting. But let's put it this way. If you don't, this is the only other movie I can think of that I can barely tolerate listening to the Irish accent. I don't know why the Irish accent is so annoying to listen to in movies.
I was not expecting this part that you were going
to. There's something about it, though, that okay. It's hard to listen to. And, yeah, they talk fast. So if you can't handle listening to very fast-talking Irish accents, then you're going to hate this movie.
The times when you can't understand it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's hard to comprehend what's going on because you don't always understand the characters. Anyway, so there's that. I'm a big fan of catalyst moments that come very quickly, very early on in films, like a setup that comes within 5 minutes of the beginning of a film starting up. I like that kind of movie. This had a very, very slow setup for me. Very slow setup. Because, I mean, it was supposed to be building up to the first major siege. But it was so slow to get to it, and it was kind of boring slow. I mean, I know they were given a lot of, exposition and trying to help you understand the context between characters of why this stuff was happening. But it was kind of boring and kind of like, meh. I agree that the scene in the bar with between the two major generals or whatever was good, but that was like they could have just done that scene and I think I would have been happy. The rest of the scenes were kind of boring and useless for me, and I didn't care very much at all. And also the character development within those scenes, I think the character development would have been better applied to the soldiers that were fighting than all these different generals and how the decisions that they were making and like the politicians and everyone else. There was so much focus on them and not enough focus on the soldiers dealing with the sieges happening. And that really kind of frustrated me because I want to care about these soldiers and what they're dealing with. And the movie's requiring me to care more about the politics of things. And it kind of bored me. I didn't care. It got a little old real quick because none of them were likable. None of them were all that likable at all. None of the politicians, they were all kind of jerks in some way, making choices for people that are basically putting their life on the line, which is pretty typical anyway, the way the world works and way war works and whatever, but it just frustrated me. I wanted the movie to focus more on the soldiers. So that sucked. By the way, even in the trailer of this film, if you check out the trailer, you'll see the moment where the first siege starts, and it seems like an interesting build-up in the trailer. Honestly, in the movie, it was kind of a lackluster introduction to the siege happening. I mean, maybe if it's based on a true story and that's how it happened, whatever, but I was expecting a lot more of an interesting dramatic build-up to that whole thing happening, and it was kind of like, oh, hey, there's people walking through the woods. Yell a bunch. Nobody hears me. I'm going to shoot a bell. Now the siege begins. Like, it was kind of boring and lackluster and not that exciting, not that tense at all. So, boo on that. I think that actually defines how most of the movie goes, though, because many of the movie... Okay, Jason brought it up a little bit about how this isn't... Hacksaw Ridge is the most recent example of a war movie that was made that was very bloody, very intense, very, very dramatic, very just heavy, like death happening everywhere kind of thing. very Mel Gibson-like for the most part, which is great. You know, I love Mel Gibson's work regardless, but not the point. But this movie was like the least violent war movie I think I've seen that made in the last, I don't know, 10, 20 years, whatever. There I go again, throwing out names or numbers. But it was so weirdly tame. I bring that up partly because it's a war movie in a sense, or a very, it might not be a war movie. I don't know. I keep wanting to call it a war movie, but I don't, I sometimes wonder if that's wise to do, because there was war going on, but not like your typical war in a war movie between two countries. It was just a defense of something happening and a mercenary type thing. Whatever, I don't know.
A political thriller.
Ooh, political thriller with guns and soldiers that have wars. I don't know.
Yeah,
anyway.
Political thrillers usually it's like spies.
Yeah, anyway. So I don't know. But anyway, there's that. But also, according to, on IMDb, it didn't say the rating, but according to Netflix, this movie is rated TVMA, meaning mature, or not TV, just mature, has a mature rating. Which I immediately expect to be really violent, really gruesome, really bad. Plus, the opening scene, if you remember the opening scene, there's a scene where some guy's jailed in some place. I don't know what it was. And I don't even remember who the characters were. All I know is they went in there, they questioned him. They were like, what's your deal? He kind of explained it. It wasn't a good enough answer. And they shot the guy, like, straight up. I was like, okay, good. Like, this is tension-based. This means that this is just only the beginning of like the indiscriminate violence that's going to take place in this film, right? Without giving too much away, I'll just say that the body count is extremely low in this film, like weirdly low for a mercenary / war movie.
You're just a warmonger. You're just a
maybe I am, yeah,
so
but much
bloodlust.
I have an expectation when it comes to war-esque movies. Mm-hmm. And that is that people die. Like, honestly.
People did die.
People.
Just not the ones that you
want. Yeah. But they should have been the ones that I wanted to die, because they should have been the more important characters. It's based on a true story, so maybe that's just how. I mean, at the very end, you find out nobody did.
You just spoiled it.
Whatever, who cares? The body count was low, nonetheless, and it was kind of disappointing, honestly. I expected a better body count, much better body count. And because I wanted to care about the characters, and I wanted the stakes to be higher, and that's my other point, is that this movie did not know how to raise the stakes at all. Even when it was going to raise the stakes, it just, like, stopped. There was a couple points where it was like, okay, good, now something exciting is happening. Now someone's in a major peril, and they could die. They're still there on the screen, eyes open and walking, and now I don't care again.
It's a historical drama. They can't.
My point is, I agree totally, but my point is, why the frick make it? They would build it up as a battle scene when it should have been, you know, and like political issues and blah, 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 when it should have been about these individual soldiers. Like, and their kind of their individual stories a little bit, so you could appreciate the valor and the things that they went through to survive. That would have been a more interesting kind of storyline for me than what they did. And as a result, I was very disappointed and kind of hate this film as a result. So anyway, what do you think, Jason? Do you?
Oh, is that what you get?
That's those are my notes, man.
Yeah,
I don't know. I was disappointed very much so.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see if they could actually remake it and make it more like Hollywood sensationalized, because you almost wonder, like with Hacksaw Ridge, like that's based off of a true story. Mm-hmm. Like they even say, like, it's like everything they did in the movie is true, but obviously, like, it's much more emotional. There's a lot more like sensationalism in there.
Well, the stakes are higher. The stakes raised are higher, right? I mean,
true. I mean, a lot of people.
The point of a war movie is to raise the stakes constantly.
Yeah, right. No, absolutely. I mean, well, and just any story needs to have that kind of, you know, a build.
The reason why Saving Private Ryan is such a classic movie is because the main character is literally the only one that lasts the entire film.
Yeah.
Well, two main characters, I guess.
Yeah.
And they barely do it.
Right.
And the war keeps on hitting them as they're all dying off. Mm-hmm. Like, aside from the fact that it's a masterfully directed film, like, it's just the body count was necessary and amazing. But anyway,
I don't think it's.
I can't compare the two in terms of like story, because based on true story means that that's just the way it was. But they should have focused it differently in terms of how to tell a story, because the expectation of having that kind of body count and that kind of heavy drama and stakes raised and all stuff isn't there when in reality it never happened to begin with, you know?
Yeah.
It should be more about something else that's like the characters were.
I think you made the best point when you said that it should have been more about the soldiers. Right. I think if the stakes were raised with what the soldiers were going through and like what they had on the line, mm-hmm. like at home and with their own lives, then suddenly like you don't want them to die.
Right.
And so then it becomes, you are relieved that they don't die. And then then maybe like at the very end, you're more like, oh, okay, good.
I want to feel exhausted.
Yeah. Right.
I want to feel emotionally exhausted from what they experienced, even if they survive it. And I'm happy about that. I still want them to be, I want to be emotionally exhausted by it and like feel like so happy that they overcame it. And I really wasn't that excited by the end of it, you know?
There weren't any like character moments. Essentially, it was just,
well, there was one. It was with the general. He was the one that had the most focus. Him and his mustache got the most focus of anything in the movie.
You mean the major, the guy on the ground? Yeah, he got the most focus, but even then, he didn't have any.
Not that much. It was literally more about the politicians and their little plane. The things that they weren't doing to help these guys was the focus, which I understand like that being sort of a tension thing, but that should have been such a subplot to the major, major thing of these guys. Like the fact they had no experience, the fact that, you know, they're in this situation they did not plan for. And these mercenaries are like 100 feet away from them pointing guns at them. Even if they backed off a few times, like there's so much risk there that really wasn't given time. Like and like I said, having more of a personal backstory with each of them, I know it's hard to do with a war movie, but if they would have done that and made it a little bit longer, it would have been a more interesting film. So
even just to have more intimate character moments, like these characters did not talk to each other. Like these characters did not like have any moments together. Like there was nothing that made them have a bond.
No,
really all you saw was them fighting, like shooting their guns and having crazy faces while they shot their guns.
Speaking of shooting guns, the most absurd movie war moment in a movie I've ever seen in my life. I don't know if this was based on part of the story or not, but something about having a man wear an extremely white suit show up in the middle of a battle to sort of quote unquote direct it the way they kind of made it look like he was doing, and have him get shot. Well, just you know, aimed at by a sniper, we'll just say. Like, I did not understand the point of that. They just wanted to make the sniper look cool, I guess. But the guy was barely moving anyway. And he was clearly this day. You know, I don't know. That was like that was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in a war movie, honestly. And it's another reason I hate this film. But yeah, what do you think of that? I don't know. Whatever.
You know, it was. I really hope it was a true thing, because if it wasn't, that's just the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Otherwise, Richie Smyth has to rethink his entire strategy for storytelling.
Well, the thing too is like it's really hard to. I mean, this is sad, but it's really hard to care about a story where the main characters are on a UN peacekeeping mission. Like, I'm sorry, but it's like, does this story really need to be told? Like, is this really that compelling? And that like, oh, you're trying to stop the major powers from mining something. Like,
right. The whole time I'm thinking they're just guarding holes. Like, that's all they're really doing right now.
Yeah,
like,
stop the old prospectors from coming in.
Well, I mean, that's where the whole political side of it comes in, and why they made such a big deal to politics is that's why they wanted to keep reminding you about that. I think, without actually saying anything about it. It was kind of just, I don't know.
But that's why it would have been so great, again, to get the characters on the ground's opinions.
Yeah.
Like, how are they feeling about this? Like, you know, those things would have been really
There needed to be nice. More Band of Brother moments.
Exactly. Really way more Band of Brother moments. Way more. Because then it would have actually given you.
Granted, I wouldn't have understood a word they said because of the Irish accents, but at least we would have had them.
Yeah. There were a lot of moments where you're like, what did he just say?
Hold on.
Wait, what?
We're not going to rewind it, but like, it's just ridiculous. Just moments where nothing made sense. Anyway, I don't know. I want to suggest this movie for those who can't stand war movies, because it's not a war movie. It's not a traditional war movie. It's very, very light for a war movie. And There is some depth to the characters that's mild depth. It's not like having emotional depth. So if you're not into really, really heavy war movies, you might actually like this movie because it's not too heavy that way. And it's somewhat enjoyable in that regard.
I feel like this would have been a great movie if it had like a narrator and it was on the History Channel.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, this is what I feel like. If you love the History Channel.
Yep.
And you love those like reenactments that they make where they have a narrator. This is your movie because there's no emotional sensationalism. It's just all very straightforward.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there is a little bit of like intensity, but most of it's not.
Agreed. And I question whether or not there was any really brave moments either. There's more stupid moments than brave. Like people like seemingly brave, but really just seeming stupid. Like, why would you make that choice? Or why would you put yourself in such a risky situation? I know you're a soldier, but at least be intelligent about it when you have people who aren't that far away from you with guns pointed at you. Anyway, whatever. So I question whether or not that's true, but if you want a subtle form of bravery that could look stupid but is still a little tense, I guess, it gives it some tension because you don't know what's going to happen to these. There's so many moments where I'm just like, okay, he's going to get shot. Whether or not he does is not the point, but at least there is a little bit of tension, so I give it that. But
I think the one thing we're also missing is that there's no climax to this. The climax was a handshake. Did you ever realize that? Like, that was the literal climax of this story. Was that a handshake?
No. Well, the second climax was the punch.
Okay, sure.
That was like a little extra bonus climax.
Bonus climax.
Which literally was the most violent part of this whole film, to be honest, I think.
But, yeah.
But, yeah, it really, the handshake.
It was confusing moment. It was a confusing moment.
Yeah, so it was very hard confusing. To understand. And then, of course, when the guy comes back to, like, tell his crew what's going on, he talks in the Irish low-tone voice where you really don't really understand what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of have to, like, assume it, and it's kind of like, well, I guess it's over again. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that's all I'm going to say. Do you have anything else to say about it?
No, I think that does it.
Cool, man. So if anybody, I do recommend watching this movie, the way, because why not? Give it a shot for yourself. Make up your own opinions about it and let us know what you thought. If you think we're crazy, if we think we're right on, how do people contact us to tell us about that, Jason?
Well, first, before they can contact us, they need to subscribe on iTunes.
Back to the subscription.
Subscribe so that you can know when we release new episodes.
There you go.
That's going to be the best
way. Pretty
easy
to do. You just go there to that thing where we just find us on your phone or on your computer. You know, search us and you just press one simple button to subscribe.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't cost you a dime.
Nothing.
So subscribe on iTunes. Do that first. And then if you want us to watch a movie, you can contact us facebook.com/loveandhatedpodcast. You can email us at loveandhatedpodcast@gmail.com. And we are on Twitter at loveandhatedpod.
So you can just tweet us if you want
to. Tweet us. Tell us if there's a movie you want us to see.
Should be within the last 5 years approximately. Yes. If you want us to see a Netflix original, we're totally open to that. I think that we're not totally focused on Netflix originals, but I want to give them some, you know, some attention, perhaps. Yes. I think that would help us a little bit. But if you just have, if there's a movie on there that you're curious about, that you want our opinion on, that's no more than 5 years old, we'll take whatever you have to offer us. And with that, and love it, hate it. Hey, come on, sing with me.
Yeah.
Love it, hate it. Okay, 3, 2. Love it, hate it. Oh, come on.
I can't sing.
You got to sing low.
Oh, I gotta do the love one.
No. So,
okay.
3, 2.
Love it.
We've really gotta work on this.
Okay.
All right.